Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels. Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guests today are vocalist and songwriter Roseanne Cash and her husband and co-writer John Leventhal. She's the daughter of Johnny Cash and one of the preeminent artists of her day. She's recorded 11 number one singles, won a Grammy, and been nominated many times. Her 2009 album, The List, won the Americana Music Award for Best Album of the Year. John is a Grammy-winning producer, a world-class guitarist, and co-writer of all the songs on their new CD. This newest collaboration, The River and the Thread, features all original songs. Roseanne and John, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to be here.
I'm thrilled to be able to speak to both of you because I'm always interested in collaborations. And because you are life partners and also work together professionally, how does that affect both?
We're professional life partners. We make both the job. No, just kidding.
Being creative together and writing together and recording together and performing live together, I mean, some people would think it's just a little too much. And once in a while it
does. And so do we.
No. Once in a while it does get to be, you know, if you're mad at someone and you have to go on stage with them, it's
that
it can
never
be tough.
Happens.
Never. But we've learned to avoid the pitfalls of that. And I love working with him. It's the ultimate romance to me.
And what came first, professional or personal?
It was kind of at the same moment. I mean, I was in love with him from the first second I saw him. And so I said, do you want to make a record with me? And we kind of got together while we were making that record. It was called The Wheel. And it was a really romantic, sweet time. And then we got married after The Wheel came out.
And when did you start writing songs together?
The first song we wrote together ended up on The Wheel. It was a song called Seventh Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the lyrics on a napkin at the Bottom Line. And I had just met John not long before that. We weren't a couple yet. And I gave him the lyrics and said, do you want to write this song with me? And he wrote it together and then recorded it on The Wheel.
On your newest collaboration, which is called The River and the Thread, you did co-write mm-hmm. everything on the recording. Now, Rodney Cromwell.
Well,
we co-wrote
all the songs, and Rodney and I had tried to write a song for Emmy Lou Harris, and Emmy passed on it, and Rose always loved the melody.
Well, Rodney and I improved on it together. I said, will you rewrite the song with me? So Rodney was my first husband.
Right, so that what kind of relationship is that now?
Well, it's really good. We're friends, and he and John are friends as well. So it was the first time the three of us had collaborated on anything mm-hmm. since I left Rodney and was with John. And it was kind of a great moment, you know, full circle, real grown-ups working together. And we ended up loving the song. And it's a Civil War ballad, which was really unusual. I had never written a Civil War ballad.
And The River and the Thread is kind of a concept record about the South. It's kind of a bit of a Southern journey on a lot of levels. And so we were kind of on a mission. We took a lot of trips down South, down Highway 61. We drove from Memphis to New Orleans. We drove from Muscle Shoals, Alabama to Dyess, Arkansas. We went to Memphis a bunch of times. And we were really just, Roseanne was born in Memphis, so we were just really trying to soak it all in and see if we could write something that was moving and meaningful and resonant to us and hopefully to other people too.
Well, I'd like to get into some music, and you both have generously agreed to perform a number of songs from the new recording. And one that, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to do to start off is Tell Heaven, and then I'd like to ask you about it after you do it.
Okay.
Here it is, Tell Heaven, Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal.
When you're like a broken bird, tell heaven battered wings against a darkened day. When your worries won't let you sleep till heaven, when the tears won't ever go away. If you got no one to love till heaven, no one on the telephone today.
That's a beautiful song, Tell Heaven. The line, the empty sky may never take our burdens, but something good will one day come our way.
Well, we wanted, when we were creating this album about the South, we thought, you know, if it's about the South, there should be a gospel song. But neither one of us are particularly traditionally religious. We thought, well, there's got to be a gospel song for people who just long, whose hearts are open to something that's larger than themselves, and who want to put their burdens somewhere, even though they might not know who they're praying to or where the burdens are being lifted to. So we wrote Tell Heaven, and we thought, well, this is kind of a secular gospel song.
There's another song that I know relates to your family, and it's called Sunken Lands. And when I started to read about the sunken lands, about geographically what happened in that place, how there was an earthquake in Arkansas in 1812, was it, or something like that, that literally sunk the land, and that's where your family's from. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Well, my dad was born in Kingsland, Arkansas, and he grew up in Dyess, Arkansas. And they were desperately poor when he was born. And during the New Deal, during, you know, FDR set up a colony of 500 houses, and he offered them to families who were really in need of a place to live. And the Cash family was chosen as one of these families. And the it was an area of Arkansas, as you said, called the Sunken Lands, near the New Madrid Fault, which in the early part of the 19th century, there had been a massive earthquake. The land sunk. The river, Mississippi River, flooded over it, which you would think would make the soil very rich and malleable. It is fertile, but it was called gumbo soil. It was so hard to till. So their lives were very, very hard, harder than we can imagine.
You are both involved in the restoration of the Johnny Cash house there?
Yes. In fact, that was kind of what kicked off our inspiration for this album, is that Arkansas State University bought my dad's boyhood home, and they wanted to restore it. So it's restored. The house is now restored, and they're now on to restoring the colony.
And what is the experience of being in that physical place? How does it affect your creativity? I mean, did you feel more connected to—
We felt it was inspirational in a strange way. It was kind of, for me, not being from there, being a New Yorker, in fact, there was a kind of haunted feeling to it. And this record started formulating, I think, in our heads when we were down there.
My heart really cracked open. You know, I had been there before. My dad took me there when I was 12 years old or something. But when the house was finally restored and the family went out there, I went in the room where my dad slept as a boy. There was nothing in there. And I just laid on the floor where his bed had been and thought, it was like time travel, thinking like, if he could have known at the age of 12 that his middle-aged daughter would come to this very spot, you know, what would that have meant? I really saw how hard the life was, how far he had to walk from that house to the administration building in the colony, what my grandmother had to do every day. You know, she lost a child, my dad's older brother, and the next day she had to be out in the cotton fields. It was survival, really. And the Sunken Lands, the hero of the Sunken Lands, my song, mine and John's song, is my grandmother, Carrie Cash, who had an unbelievably difficult life, but was the most light-filled woman you can imagine.
Well, would you and John perform Sunken Lands?
Absolutely.
Five cans of paint, the empty fields, the dust reveals and the children cry, the work never ends, there's not a single friend. Who will hold her hand in the sunken lands?
That is Sunken Lands, performed by our guests, Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal. There's another song that's on the recording, Etta's Tune, that mm-hmm. is written out of real life or after some people who were very important to you.
This was the first song we wrote for the record, and it's about Marshall and Etta Grant. And Marshall was my dad's bass player in the original Tennessee 2. Mm. And after my dad died, he was like a surrogate dad to me. And he, you know, we'd talk regularly. And Marshall couldn't let go of the past. And he went over and over and over the old stories with me, you know. And in a way, trying to fix them.
Were they always the same as he told them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like he wanted to fix it, you know. My dad was a drug addict during a lot of that time. And Marshall agonized about why he couldn't have gotten my dad off drugs, you know, like anyone can do that. And he saved everything, all of the relics of the past, the reel-to-reel tapes, the programs from the shows, everything. So Etta was his wife of 60-plus years, and Etta said to me, every morning of our lives when we woke up, we'd say, what's the temperature, darling?
And as soon as she told me that, I was like, dang.
That's a song.
There's our song. Wow.
And they kept their house.
The house on Old Nokomis, which is a street in Memphis. So they kept that house, and that's where all of the souvenirs were kept.
Would you please sing Etta's tune?
Yes, we will.
Here it is.
What's the temperature, darling? 100 or more. Horses pawing at the dust, violets wilting by the door. But you pour your strongest coffee and I'll take the battered wheel. We'll drive straight down the river road, spread a blanket on the hill. What's the temperature, darling? Now don't stare into the past. There was nothing we could change or fix. It was never gonna last. Now don't stare into those photos. Don't analyze my eyes.
Etta's tune. What happened to all of the memorabilia?
She still has it. He passed away in 2011. And I talk to her regularly, and she's thinking, says, you know, I'm thinking about moving back to Nokomis.
Really?
Yeah.
And how old is she?
She's in her late 80s.
Huh. Before we end our program, I would love to have the opportunity, Roseanne, of singing something with you.
It would be my honor.
Well, I heard you sing a song from My Fair Lady, and I was so delighted to hear you do a very different take on the song.
I remember you were there that night, and I was so nervous to do that song in front of you.
Oh.
It was. But the fact you want to do it with me now, thank you.
Well, it's truly my honor. Let's give it a go.
Okay, this is from My Fair Lady.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely?
Lots of chocolate for me to eat. lots of coal making lots of heat. Warm face, warm hands, warm feet. Oh, would it be lovely?
That was a joy.
I'll never forget it. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.